Who's that coming down the street? Who's that coming to meet me? Is that too hexy, mamas?
Yeah, that was
Shut good. Up, that was so good.
Karina, is we just have to set up your spells.
Are you doing another character, a new one?
Mm-mm. No, we just got to go through and make sure that the spells that you want.
I'm doing the same one. Aren't you doing the same one?
Yeah, what do we have to do? I feel like everybody's doing things.
They changed their characters.
Jacob and I, like, changed.
I just had to change my spells because my spell, I had picked a lot of spells that were healing spells, but Jacob is a pretty damn decent healer, so there's no reason.
But he's not the same character anymore.
No, but his new character is. His new character is still support.
Okay.
His new character is like a hella healer, so there's no point in me having all that stuff.
Right, okay.
You have your books and stuff for anything you need to talk to her afterwards about, like.
Weddings and stuff, yes. Thank you.
Oh, wait, can you tell Jacob to go get my planner? It's in where my office is on the left of my desk on the
floor.
Did you
see what he was doing to me?
No.
He was jacking off my hand.
It looked like it needed it.
How does something just look like it needs that?
Get away from him.
Your planner is where?
It's next to my computer on the left on the floor.
Next to your computer on the left on the floor?
Yeah.
All right, your mic's hot.
Are you designing my thing for me, or am I coming up there to do it?
We're gonna let you do it.
Oh.
That way you get to go through all the fancy process. My guy's already done.
Oh my god, you could do facial expressions. Mm-hmm. You could go like this.
He already gave, like, the mock when he made you a septum ring.
Did he really? Yeah, yes! Have a septum ring. That's awesome.
I wanted it, but I was like, my character doesn't have that, so I can't have it. But I told him, he was like, what's your character again? I was like, she's kind of like Steve Irwin, but, like, with monsters. And he was like...
That was the perfect thing that he did then.
Yeah, yeah. I had something, but he made it.
No, he made it. Yeah, that one was really cool.
So.
Hello. Welcome to True Hexy Mamas. This is a weekly podcast about spooky things. I really like this.
That's Karina, and I'm Jessica, because she did not introduce herself. You're just, like, over it.
I'm so... today, we are going to talk about... Haunted hospitals.
And I feel like we didn't just do, like, hospitals, like regular hospitals. These are clearly
mine's a mental health,
specific types of hospitals.
I believe they are both of the mental health variety.
No.
Yours isn't?
I mean, it is. There's a small portion.
Oh, I thought
but
okay.
No.
Uh-huh.
A sanatorium. Back in the day, it was considered like a poorhouse.
Oh.
So women who were widowed... Because women back in the early 1900s weren't allowed to own land. So if your husband died and you had any kids,
S-O-L.
You were shit out of luck. Mine's kind of fucked up, but...
I'll do mine first because it is short. It's not the scariest. It's more so...
That's my couch. I don't have gas, even though I'm lactose intolerant. Are you okay?
Yes.
Do you need an inhaler? Jacob has one.
Probably. My story is mostly, I did a lot more research on kind of how the hospital was before, because it's, actually, my hospital's still open.
Ew.
Yeah, and it's kind of shocking that it's still open, but it is.
Where is this located?
In Kentucky? Alton, did I really not put where, it's in Alton.
What's it called? What's the hospital?
Where is Alton? I think it's like Ohio or something.
Here's Ohio.
I didn't say where's Ohio. I said... Where is Alton?
Sorry. I don't know where that is.
City of Alton.
Where is the Alton Mental Health Hospital? There you go. That's the name.
Okay. Here's what I found.
No, not Vanderbilt. What the fuck is wrong with you? Where is the city of Alton?
Okay, here's Alton.
Well, whatever it is, it's 4 hours away.
So maybe Kentucky?
Georgia? Illinois!
Illinois.
God, that took forever, Siri. You're such a pain in the fucking ass.
Hey, don't be rude
to Siri. Anyway.
She's helpful sometimes.
No, she's not. So I did... Mine is a lot of history on... like, the hospital, how it was back in the day, and then a very brief haunting. And mostly that's because I did all the research, and then it was like, here's one sentence about the haunting, and I went, well, I'm too deep in this to change my hospital.
Oh my god, you're ridiculous.
So, sorry. But it is an interesting history.
We're doing haunted hospitals. Well, mine's probably not haunted.
No, it is haunted. It is for sure haunted. Because when I Googled the most haunted hospitals, this was on every list.
I feel
but
like
for some reason,
lists like that are so like...
But for some reason, there was such little information on it. And trust me, I did a lot. I opened up like 50 websites. I listened to like 3 podcasts. And everybody had the same amount of information. But it's apparently incredibly haunted. So I'm just going to warn you all right now. But okay, so... In 1909, the General Assembly made the state assume all responsibility for the care and treatment of the public insane.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an insane hospital. So state-operated facilities like the Alton Medical... Just kidding. Alton Mental Health Hospital were created. In 1916, patients from the Anna State Hospital were transferred and housed in temporary quarters while the hospital was being built. So they were in, like, temporary, like, they were in, like, the unbuilt part, like, the built part of the hospital for, like, a couple months before the whole hospital was finished being
mm-hmm.
constructed. So that was kind of the first, like, little, like, oh, maybe we should not have done that, but oh well. The hospital was open in a couple months. It was completed, and in 1921, Alton had 757 patients to only 117 employees.
Ooh.
Yeah. So 3 years later, hydrotherapy was introduced, which now we kind of know is not a kosher way to treat mental illness. And the hospital was expanded. It got 5 new cottages and 2 new dining halls. And then 1 year later, over 65,000 hours of hydrotherapy treatment was given.
Mm.
So, not only is it not a sound way of treatment, but they were also overusing it because, like...
What exactly did they do when they did hydrotherapy?
So, from what I understand, do you remember in the second season of American Horror Story
mm-hmm.
when they were in those baths?
I know they did really hot, didn't they?
So, that's one thing. It's like and then also they would put them in freezing cold water because it would make their body tired and they couldn't fight. So, like, overly aggressive patients, they would put them in really, really cold water so that they would basically, you know, think about it, like, when you jump into a cold pool, you get very lethargic and
yeah.
you get very tired. It's kind of the same thing where, like, they would put them, they would, like, hose them off or put them in really cold water so they'd go to sleep and, like, not bother them,
yeah.
basically. Or, I mean, think about, too, when you put the girls in a hot bath, they're tired. That's what we do before bedtime, you
yeah.
know, put them in a hot bath. Not a hot bath, but you know what I'm saying.
Scald them.
A warm bath.
Burn their skin.
No, jeez.
Then put
I used to have a little,
on in these itchy pajamas.
I used to have a little rubber ducky that Killian had. That at the bottom of it, it would tell you
the
if it was too hot.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't tell me the temperature. I had the cheap one that just said hot underneath.
Oh, okay.
But, like, so we were very serious about making sure his bath. Now I'm like, Killian loves hot baths.
Girls
so now I'm like, forget
it. Too hot. That's the joys of having older children.
I know. But I put it in my bath once, and it, like, because it's, like, one of those things that gradually gets whiter, and it's like, hey, that's too hot, like, whatever. It, like, touched the water, was like, no, it's too hot. And I was like,
I take... Like, hot
I do, too. Dylan was like, this is ridiculous.
I need to cleanse my body.
If I'm not about to pass out before we leave the bath, because it's, like, too much steam and too much
yeah.
heat, then it's not the right type of bath. A shower for me.
I also refill the bath, like, 10 times, because the water gets
I do that
cold.
Sometimes, but I get bored in the bath. If I put, like, a TV show on, like, I'll keep refilling the bath.
Let me fall asleep in there. You know what I want to try? This is totally off topic.
Hmm.
Those little chambers, what are they called? Where it's like...
They freeze your body?
No.
Oh,
it's
that's
the
thing, too.
It's the tank that's full of Epsom salt and water, and when you get in, you float and stuff. So
the one that cuts your senses off?
Yeah.
No, I don't want to do that.
I would love to do that.
That makes... Just thinking about that makes me want to have a panic attack.
People say it's like this euphoric experience.
You go insane.
What? You're not in there for very long.
If you're in there too long, though.
Well, yeah, but you're in there
insane.
For like 30 minutes.
Oh, no,
brain.
I can't do that. I would just hear my thoughts so loudly that I couldn't function.
Someone said it was really good if you were pregnant because, like, It's like you and your baby are, like, focused on each other because nothing else is, like, you're, like, floating with your baby. It's, like, weird.
No, I would hear all those things that's, like, going to be a bad mom screaming in my head.
Oh, my God, stop.
Think about that because you have all those shitty thoughts when you're pregnant. I do, at least.
But I also have dreams about, like, pickles talking to me and me nursing cats
when I'm pregnant. I did not have any weird dreams when I was pregnant. Dude. I was really bummed about it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wanted the weird dreams.
You
never
want
had any.
Legit opening the fridge and pickles being like, you can't fucking eat me, bitch. I'm talking to you right now. I'm a real thing. Don't fucking eat me.
I never even ate pickles when I was
or
pregnant.
Or legit, like, nursing kittens. That's so fucking weird.
The weirdest thing I ate when I was pregnant, and it was more so out of that we had no money and I really was hungry, and so I just combined with weird shit to, like, eat, was I wanted tuna fish sandwich, but we had no mayonnaise, and I can't eat just tuna, like, that's disgusting. So I had Dylan put, not horseradish, what am I trying, sauerkraut. Put sauerkraut in the tuna.
I heard that was good, though, tuna
it was
and sauerkraut.
So good. It was so good.
Especially when you're pregnant. Like,
so
sour
good.
Things like that and cabbage. Oh.
And it was, like I said, it was not because I was like, I'm craving sauerkraut. And it was because we didn't have mayonnaise,
right.
And I can't eat tuna fish without mayonnaise.
I love tuna fish with mayo and relish.
Yes.
Very good.
But it was kind of the same thing. It was, like, basically relish.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's, and then I ate a shit ton of peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Like, the fact that Dylan, or Killian did not come out a peanut butter and jelly sandwich is a miracle.
Actually, so I hate peanut butter and jelly, but when I was pregnant with Jay, I wanted peanut butter and jelly all the time.
Literally.
Peanut butter and jelly and hot dogs, and I fucking hate, not together.
Oh.
But I hate those.
I think the reason I ate so many peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, though, is because meat made me sick. So it was one of the few things that had protein in it. That didn't have meat in it. Like, when Dylan would cook dinner, I would have to sit upstairs with the door closed.
So you couldn't smell the meat.
I could not smell meat. The only meat I ever could eat was Chick-fil-A chicken, and that's because it's not greasy.
Yeah.
And I think, and that, even that, I ate in very small, like to the point where, like, I was like, I am not eating any protein, or, like, I basically became a vegetarian when I was
Well, you still need
pregnant.
Protein, but, like, you mean in meat form.
In meat form. I had, like, no protein.
I loved pickles, salsa, anything that was basically,
I remember your,
like,
salsa, yeah.
I had cans of tomato juice that I would keep in my bag. It's
so gross.
Like, very acidic things I wanted. That's
See,
so
I
weird.
Could, it's funny, is I could not eat anything acidic. I could not eat anything with tomatoes in it at all. The smallest bit of tomato, even, like, tomato, like, on a burger or whatever.
So did you crave sweet things?
No, I didn't really crave anything.
I was trying to figure out, like, the wives' tale thing, like, maybe.
Yeah, no, I didn't crave. I craved fruit, and I craved peanut butter and jelly. But I think, like I said, it was because I wasn't eating anything else. It's just, like, I needed those things. But I couldn't, anything with the smallest bit of tomato, I got the worst heartburn. So I didn't eat any pasta, like, the whole pregnancy. I couldn't eat tomato salsa. I couldn't eat anything with tomatoes on it.
I didn't get heartburn, but, man, I had the worst indigestion. Like, it was, like, Tums, I just
and
ate,
never,
and ate.
And I'd never had heartburn in my life until I was pregnant.
You didn't
pregnant.
Know what was going on.
So, well, we ate something at Dylan's parents' house that had tomatoes in it, and I didn't know that I couldn't eat tomatoes. So I ate it, and, like, we're sitting on the couch watching TV, and I think I was only, like, 2 or 3 months pregnant. And I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And Dylan's like, what? And I was like, I'm having a heart attack. I'm dying. I'm having a heart attack. And I, like, I had everybody in the house, like,
freaked out.
Freaked the fuck out. Because, I mean, Angie's very panicked about things. Like, and I had her grandbaby in my belly. So she was, like, freaking out. And they were like,
no.
What do you feel? And I told her. And John was like, that's heartburn. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm dying. Because I, like,
it
was coming.
Pepto-Bismol.
It was coming up my throat, up the back of my ear. Like, it was horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible. But yeah, tomatoes. That's all, every time.
Love
so the tomatoes. So you were eating tomato juice, and I couldn't even look at tomatoes.
I was drinking tomato juice. Like, that was my snack. That was my second breakfast.
I couldn't.
I legit felt like a hobbit. Like,
the other thing I ate a lot when I was, not that any of you care, but is I ate a shit ton of jelly beans, but because it was the only thing that stopped me from being nauseous.
No.
A friend of mine who was a midwife, I was like, I can't eat, my nausea, blah, blah. She goes, go get jelly beans. And I was like, that's ridiculous. She goes, no. Something with the sour and jelly beans. Like, she was like, go get sour candy or jelly beans.
Well, they have those pregnancy pops,
I
too.
I used to
and
eat
they're
those.
Just they're just sour
they are.
Suckers.
I spent, like, $10 on them, and I was like,
legit.
This is a sour lollipop. I'm just going to go get a lollipop
exactly.
next time.
Yep.
And it worked. And it's funny is Killian, to this day, is obsessed with jelly beans. And I just thought about that. How much jelly beans I ate.
Huh.
when I was pregnant with him. It's funny because like things like my mom when she was pregnant with me, she only craved sweet things.
Yeah.
And when she was pregnant with my brother, she only craved salty things.
So I'm, she like, goes with the wife's tale thing.
Well, I was a huge, I'm a huge sweet person. Like I can eat dessert 24/7. Nick does not like dessert. Nick will eat like sherbet and that's about it. Yeah. Like he just likes salty. So I'm like, that's funny.
That is funny. Huh.
Well, none of that was important, but...
But now you know.
But now you know. And this is why it's called Two Hexy Mamas, because we somehow being a mother will seep into all of these episodes one way or another. Where was I?
Did you ever scare Killian when he was in your belly?
Or
startle him? I would sit in the bathtub when I was pregnant with the girls, and I'd have, like, either a ceramic cup or a glass cup, like, filled with water. Because when you're in, like, you're not supposed to take hot baths. But I would take hot baths.
I didn't take a bath at all.
I was pregnant. Why?
Because I was so panicked about everything.
Oh, my God. So I took baths, and I would take the glass and just, like, tap it on the side of the tub. Yeah. And they would jump.
I never did that. Yeah, it was really neat. Damn.
It was really neat.
He only got hiccups once, too. And I thought it was the coolest thing in the world.
I was highly upset. I swear to God, both of them got hiccups right when I would lay down to go to sleep. And I could not fucking go to sleep.
No, Killian just really liked to... He was a big fan of rolling from just one side to the other. I loved
watching that. Everybody
thought
it was creepy.
But he didn't do it, like, out like this way. So I never got to see my belly, like, do this.
Why?
He would do it underneath. Ew. It was almost like he flopped the wrong way. Yeah. So I would feel it all in my, like, organs.
Did they ever say what position he was in when you had the C-section? Like, was he...
He was down. He was ready.
Ready to go? Okay.
When he was first born, because he sat on my pelvic bone for
his
so
long...
His head
was shaped.
His head had...
He was ready to go.
It just had... But you could see where, like, I just was not open wide
it
enough.
Stopped.
Because it was just, like, a small circle on his head.
Yeah.
So it's just, like, there was no way.
He stopped.
Yeah.
Huh. Well.
Yep. Okay, sorry.
Neither one of the girls had misshapen heads. But I think this is my labors were so fast.
I was going to say, because you barely had them in there.
I sneezed and they
You sneezed
out.
And your children shot out of your body. In the 1940s, so they were already doing hydrotherapy, so then they introduced electroconvulsive therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And added in the patient's population was about 700 patients more than capacity.
Was this additional to the already?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
By the 1954, the new antipsychotic medications were introduced. Discharge of patients increased by 20%, so they were basically like, get out. We don't have space, go. And 39 patients received lobotomies in that year alone, which is never a good thing. In the 60s, hydrotherapy stopped, and an adolescent unit and alcohol treatment unit were added. And I was like,
Why are they adding more treatment centers when they don't?
Well, not only that, why is it, it's like, here are all these people who are clinically insane, but also let's add an adolescent wing, which I get it, kids are also clinically insane. But then let's also add alcoholics. I'm like, that's not...
That's kind of like mine.
That's not the same thing. Like, that's
but
not...
But they didn't care.
They
It's kind of like mine.
In 1961, the Department of Mental Health assumed control of the Alton Mental Health Center and is now primarily a forensic service provider with about 200 court-ordered patients. And I had to look up what that was because I was like, I don't know what a forensic mental health service is. So basically, I wrote down the definition because this is very interesting. Forensic service in mental hospital is the forensic mental health service are provided for A, individuals with mental disorder, including neurodevelopmental disorders, who... B, pose or have posed a risk to others. C, where the risk is usually related to their mental disorder, they may be placed in hospitals, particular secure hospitals. So basically people who are, like, criminals who are violent and who could hurt other people.
Mm-hmm.
That's what is in the hospital currently. So, and it is still open to this day. So now I'll get into the hauntings. So the building was and still is filled with tortured souls, both alive and dead. Many of the buildings have been abandoned, and many workers will not enter them.
Damn.
Doors slam, and kind of the really common thing is a lot, because you cannot go to this hospital unless you have a family member in being treated.
Mm-hmm.
So, but people will take pictures of it, because it's like, my aunt's there, but I also know that it's a famous haunted place, so, like, they'll take pictures. And it's, like, in almost every picture that's ever been taken there is orbs in the picture, like, all over. And then there's also really serious, like, lots of accounts of faces in the orbs.
Yeah.
Nurses have reported very frequently hearing, "Who's that?" Like, they'll be doing their rounds, and they'll hear, "Who's that?" And, like, the nurse turned around to answer, and no one was there. They have also been many reports of whispering voices, and not only do they hear the whispering voices, which is common in, like, I feel like in a hospital, especially when there's so many patients there that may have lived or died.
Right.
But these voices aren't just whispering, they're having full conversations. Like, they can hear this voice whispering and then this voice whispering back.
It's like residual
yes.
energy.
Having full conversations,
yeah.
which is apparently not very common. There's also a ghostly mist. There's a cemetery on the property and railroad tracks on the property, and there's almost always this, like, fog over both things. And because a lot of patients would go missing and just die of exposure
right.
and things like that because they get lost or whatever, and then a lot of the patients who died got buried on site. So all their soul, like, they were there for, like, the really horrible moments of their lives,
mm-hmm.
and then they died there.
Hmm.
So it's like, it makes sense why they are haunting
like,
it.
Were their deaths documented? Like,
I think they were. I know I said a lot of bad stuff about it, but it wasn't a bad hospital in that, like, this stuff just happened. So it wasn't a bad hospital as in it was doing dirty things. It really wasn't. It was doing what every hospital in that time period did. So I think they were keeping track. And actually, there was someone on one podcast I was listening to, the man who created the hospital actually encouraged employees and himself where he would go to every wing and act as a patient for that day so he could see how
they were being treated.
So I think that they were genuinely trying to take care of these people, but even today there's not a lot of regulations, and there's not a lot of people with mental disorders aren't treated properly.
No.
And it's definitely not then. I mean, we've come leaps and bounds, but I mean, the other thing is employees state that they were watched and even touched when doing their rounds, but tours are currently prohibited because the hospital is still
active.
It is still functioning. This is interesting too. For years, stories have circulated regarding the hauntings of the hospital that witnessed patient abuse, neglect, and barbaric treatments. Disembodied voices echo through the empty hallways, and locals say a fireman who died there after a tragic fall haunts the firehouse. I guess there's a firehouse there?
Damn, it's like their own little village.
Yeah, and I think that is what that's what they had, like, a bunch of cottages and stuff like that. In some of the patient wards, phantom cries of tormented patients can be heard, a kind of psychic recording that plays itself over and over. It's like what you were talking about, residual.
Yeah.
A threatening, unwelcome feeling also dominates the once-crowded patient wards. During its last days of existence, the hospital was immortalized in film. Oh, so I guess maybe it just closed? I don't know. The primary location for the movie Choke by Chuck... there's a book by... It's like Dylan's favorite author is a man named Chuck Palahniuk, who's the one that wrote Fight Club.
Really?
Yes. And so he wrote another book called Choke, which I believe is one of Dylan's favorite books, if I remember correctly. But they filmed there. The film's crew was adamant about the presence of two ghosts, a female nurse who seemed friendly and another dark, terrifying energy that did not take human form. So there's that. But that's the only information I heard about, like, really bad stuff. Everything else was just kind of common, like, people saying, "Who's that?" And patients just wondering what was going on. So, but yeah, that's the Alton State Mental Hospital. So not the most haunted, but definitely interesting.
Haunted.
Yeah, for sure haunted.
So, okay.
I'm excited to hear yours.
Mine was the Rolling Hills Sanatorium.
Never
heard of it. Did I put where it was?
If you're like me, you didn't, because I sure didn't.
I thought I did, but maybe I didn't. So for those of you who don't know what a sanatorium is, it is a medical facility for long-term illness, most typically associated with treatment of tuberculosis in the late 19th and 20th century before the discovery of antibiotics.
Ooh.
And then, so I first am going to talk about the history of Rolling Hills Sanatorium, and
yeah.
I got this from www.rollinghillsasylum.com.
Oh, straight from the source.
Straight from the source. And the person who wrote this, let me get her, Susan L. Conklin from the Genesee County Historian.
Oh.
I feel like this, what is Genesee? Wyoming? Georgia?
Do you want me to Google
it? Yeah, you Google it really
What
quick.
Is it called?
Genesee. Rolling Hills. Rolling Hills.
Where is Rolling Hills located?
Okay, here's what I found.
Rolling Hills Hospital?
Yeah. Well, my, that, I don't
this
know.
This is it on Yelp. This is in Franklin, Tennessee.
No,
I don't think
that's
it's
not in Tennessee, I don't think.
What is it called? Rolling Hills Sanatorium?
Sanatorium.
Where was Rolling Hills Sanatorium located?
Okay, here's Sanatorium.
What is the other word?
Genesee County.
Where is Genesee County?
Here's Michigan.
Michigan,
okay, yeah, yeah. So that's here are Siri. Some, I'm going to, when I was reading about the history, they give little definitions of things that we might not know.
Oh, okay, okay.
So, a poorhouse is an institution where paupers were maintained with public funds.
Uh-huh.
To include orphans, widows, handicapped, minor criminals.
Oh, all together?
All together.
Oh.
An almshouse is a house built by a charitable person or organization for poor people to live in.
Do you remember in Sweeney Todd? She's like, alms for a desperate woman. Do you remember that? I know you've seen
I've
that.
I've seen it, but I don't remember that
one. The one that ends up being his wife, the, like, crazy woman, she's, like, going through the...
Yeah.
The, she sings, she's like, alms for a desperate woman. Like, that's what she's saying. Sorry. Go on. I'm just laying on the couch singing Sweeney Todd.
And asylum, which is a shelter or protection from danger or those too ill to care for themselves, or an institution offering shelter and support to the mentally ill, a refuge, sanctuary, or safe haven. Before becoming infamously known as Rolling Hills Asylum, a widely documented hotbed of paranormal activity, the property was originally named the Genesee County Poor Farm, often affectionately referred to as the old country home. Oh. County, the old county home.
Oh.
Often resembling a reformatory, a poorhouse often housed orphan children, families, destitute elderly, physically handicapped, mentally unstable, morally corrupt, even criminals altogether. In the same, like, on the same floor, there was no, it, all together. These institutions were situated on the grounds of a poor farm on which able-bodied residents were required to work. So, if you were a widow and you had 7 kids, you can live here, but you have to work. You have to work
I mean,
on
I guess
this.
That makes
You have to
sense.
Work here, too.
I guess that makes sense.
Such farms were common in the United States in the 19th and early 20th centuries. A poorhouse, sometimes referred to as almshouse or asylum, was a government-run facility for the support and housing of dependent or needy persons, typically run by local government entities such as a county or a municipal... What is it? Municipality? Whatever. And institutions of this nature were widespread in the United States prior to the adoption of the Social Security program in the 1930s. On December 4th, 1826, the Genesee County Board of Supervisors met in Bethany for the purpose of establishing a county poorhouse, a brick building, originally a stagecoach tavern, located near the corner of the Bethany Center Road and Raymond Road, was the site selected as it represented the geographical center of the county. Wyoming County wasn't established until 1841. This official announcement, dated December 9th, 1826, appeared in the issue of the Batavia Times newspaper, and it says, "Notice is hereby given that the Genesee County Poorhouse will be ready for the reception of paupers on the first day of January, 1827. The overseers of the poor of the several towns of the county of Genesee are requested in all cases of removal of paupers to the county poorhouse to send with them their clothing, beds, bedding, and such other articles belonging to the paupers as may be necessary and useful to them. The following were eligible for assistance: habitual drunkards, lunatics, one who by disease, grief, or accident lost the use of reason from old age, sickness, or weakness, was so weak of mind as to be incapable of governing or managing their affairs, paupers, which is a person with no means of income, state paupers, one who is blind, lame, old, or disabled with no income source, or a vagrant.
This just seems like a big group of people that should not be all in one room.
Just wait. In 1828, Genesee County constructed a stone building attached to the poorhouse for the confinement of lunatics and respiratory for paupers committed for misconduct. The insane were also housed at the county home until 1887, when the Board of Supervisors agreed to send persons suffering with acute insanity, that's in quotations.
Yeah, let's say, what's your gauge for that?
Elsewhere in the state. The Genesee County Poor Farm, a.k.a. the county home, was a self-sufficient working farm and woods spanning over 200 acres. That's a lot.
That is, yeah.
Proving, or providing...
Dylan, hold on, sorry. Dylan told me today that an acre is a football field. So 200 football fields.
Right.
Jesus Christ.
Spanning over 200 acres, providing food and fuel, thus the actual cost to care for each person was low, about $1 and 8 cents per week per resident back in 1871. Residents were referred to as inmates, no matter why they were housed there.
That's so sad.
And those physically able-bodied would work the farm, and many actually built and made wares to sell to help offset some of the living expenses. The raising of Holsteins, pigs, draft horses, chickens, and ducks, raising vegetable and fruit crops, canning jams, jellies, meats were all part of the chores. And there was a bakery and a wood shop where coffins were made.
Oh. I mean, I guess, like, work for what you're getting given. I get that, like, for sure.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like some of those people should have been separated.
Well, hold on. So the coffins were made there, and some were used as needed in the sanatorium, but they were also for sale for the local mortuaries that would come by and buy them as well. The county would bury those who had no family, and records indicate there was once a cemetery located on the property, but the particulars are almost non-existent. So, unmarked graves.
Oh, fun. Yeah. That always will do it.
Right. An 1886 proceeding states, the burying ground we have improved. This is like 8. Look how tiny this is.
Oh, shit, yeah.
I need any glasses.
You need to get yourself those, like, reading glasses from Walgreens.
No, I need to go to an eye doctor.
Oh, or that.
They're
barking because they're outside. The children.
Huh.
They're on a walk, apparently.
The burying ground we have improved by building a fence in front and grading and leveling the ground as much as we could be done without injury to the graves. So I think maybe they have it somewhat. I'll get into it.
Yeah.
Because Ghost Adventures went on a whatever, mm-hmm. and they didn't seem like they knew where this area was.
Oh.
So to me, it's an unmarked grave where nobody knows.
For sure. I would think so.
The cemetery for the county poorhouse has faded away as the stones crumbled, the grass grew, and the forest replanted. No one was around to care for those who had so long ago been forgotten. These people, though they were poor, ill, and sometimes abandoned, do deserve to be remembered. An actual cemetery, register, or plot map has yet to be discovered. A memorial site was created in the Genesee County Park, and on June 6, 2004, when 5 headstones dated from 1887 to 1888 were returned to the county, the Genesee County historians dedicated a historical marker honoring those who died while living in the county.
Yeah, but I doubt it was just 5.
No, it was a
There's
lot.
There's no way.
From 1827 until the facility was closed in 1974, and the residents who were living there were relocated to new facilities in Batavia.
Batavia.
Okay, and then I just have a bunch of little notes that I took while I was watching the Ghost Hunters when they went on their little adventure. So
she loves a good topic that she can watch a ghost adventure about.
Honestly, because I can just type it out.
Yeah, I know.
I can just type out little points.
So if you ever want to suggest a topic, make sure you suggest one that she can watch ghost adventure.
Well, I will say a good chunk of mine have been from ghost adventures.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
But
it makes it easier.
It's more interesting.
Well, also it's like...
They get ghost evidence, too.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
So it's more, I can tell you, this place is really haunted, and this is what happens, because they have first-hand encounters.
And you see it, exactly.
Yeah, and you hear it. Some of the stuff, though...
She likes to pretend she hates Zach Bagans, but I think she doesn't.
I think he's just... I don't know why I say this. He's very dramatic, but I'm dramatic.
I was going to say.
So I'm not sure why I don't like him. Homeless, widowed, and I mentioned, because at the time, women were not allowed to own land.
Mm-hmm.
Sick people.
I still don't own land.
I don't either.
Dylan's names on everything, because if my name was on it, they'd be like, you can't have it. You don't have a real job.
Oh, my God. Stop it.
No, but saying I don't have a government tax job is basically what I'm saying.
Okay. So, homeless people, widowed, sick people, pedophiles, murderers, mentally unstable.
So, drunkards. The widow with her child, with yes. With the pedophiles.
Yes.
That makes me so upset.
They were all on the same floor. Children were put under the same roof as the insane.
I'm so mad.
It was the worst home in state due to the treatment of the residents. 1,700 people are buried in unmarked graves in the fields. Over 1,200 are documented. So, 1,200 people are documented, but 1,700 people are buried. So, what does that tell you?
Right, exactly.
Children were sold. Could have been for...
For work.
Adoption, work, sex, trafficking stuff. Oh, God. People were also not given documentation of their deaths. So, there, if you had a family member who died, they would tell you they just died, and they wouldn't tell you
how. Sorry, don't know how, don't exactly. know where they are, but they're dead.
Murders and suicides happened inside the home, and elderly people, of course, died there. Underground tunnels, they have an underground tunnel system, and there are still workers who maintain the property, and pieces of wood have been seen being thrown down there.
Ooh.
And there is a known spirit named Raymond, who has been known to, the rumor is that he molested children when he lived there.
Well, that's what you get when you put pedophiles and children in one building.
He's known to have done that, but now he inappropriately touches women. So he is a spirit that will inappropriately touch women while being down there.
That makes sense.
Screams can be heard throughout the sanatorium. Because people were only able to communicate that way. Most mentally unstable people, they can't say, hey, bitch, I need this change.
Hey, I need something, yeah.
I need something. They would just scream.
Like
balls,
children.
Balls and cars have been moved. There is a Christmas room they have down there. I don't know why. It's a Christmas room.
What do they mean by that?
It's a room filled with Christmas things. Like, there's a tree. There's, like, Santa stuff.
That's cool. I want that in my house.
They have, I'll get into it, but they put, you know, toys, toy cars, balls and toys are moved constantly.
Cool.
They have read stories to the ghost children and have been able to get responses from them via EVP.
Nice.
Are there really children spirits being stuck in the sanatorium, or do they have demonic spirits contacting them?
Pretending to be
children.
It would make sense that there were kids there. They had kids living there. So what, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. There was also a, I don't want to call him an inmate because he seemed like a nice person, a resident named Roy, who is seen a lot. He was sent there at the age of 12. He had giantism. Which is, he was very large.
Yeah, he can't help that.
He spent 50 years there and died. They have a series of images of a very tall man, deformed face, in all black. And they talked about how he loved opera and he was self-taught.
Oh.
Like, self-educated. Lots of people see him, actually. They see a very, very tall figure. Like, it's a very, it's literally full face.
Oh,
just
wow.
Full body, legs in motion type, like, you can make out. It's just, it's very interesting.
Yeah.
But he's very nice, apparently.
Aww.
The head nurse that lived there was evil. Nurse Emmy was known for dabbling in black arts and abusing patients. A heavy feeling can be felt when entering her room, and men are known to be groped in her room as well. She is said to belong...
Listen, she's gotta get hers.
Where she can. Stop. She is said to belong to a coven that is still in existence.
Oh, she?
And there is speculation that they broke into the sanatorium and are believed to have done a ritual. And I said, because candles were found, that doesn't mean that a ritual was done. But I said,
someone just brought their Bath and Body Works there.
Maybe. And I said, maybe to be brought back. They didn't really touch on the subject very much.
Hmm.
And then they were doing, you know, just their investigation, and an EVP they caught, they asked, are there any patients in here? And a spirit responds with, open up a little. That's really weird, but it could be a residual for a patient that was sick and somebody is telling them to open up their mouth so they can get medicine, whatever.
Oh, okay, yeah.
They've caught black mass figures, which we all know what those are.
We spoke about those recently.
Yes, in photographs. One in the West Wing in a room. They believed it was Roy due to how large it was. Another one was in the doorway in a hall, almost like kind of peeking out kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Zach was in a room and claimed to have felt the same symptoms as one of the patients that inhabited that room. Mr. Fleming's was a patient that had...
He always feels something.
Well, it was weird because... I don't think he was told who inhabited the room.
Oh, uh-huh.
Another person that is part of their investigation team said, this is the Mr. Fleming's was a patient that had severe stomach issues. He was a doctor, had a stroke, and was left to die in the sanatorium. Mr. Fleming's inhabited that room, and Zach was saying how he just feels sick to his stomach. Mm. And then another guy was like, oh, there was somebody who inhabited this room, and he had really bad stomach issues.
Of course.
After hearing there was a lot of screams that you can hear when watching the episode. But after hearing a loud lady scream, they capture an EVP that says, "I'm here." That's really creepy.
Yeah.
Most of them start feeling sick throughout the investigation, which I can attest to. I've been to a few places.
Mm-hmm.
Before I even was into witchy stuff, and I would just go, and I'm like, I don't feel good. I feel sick. And immediately after leaving, I'm completely fine.
That's happened to me a couple times.
I do want to talk about heavy metal doors slamming. So,
Sorry. You said heavy metal, and then you paused before doors. So, I was like, what is she going to talk about?
I
want to
talk about heavy metal.
I want to talk about heavy metal. The bands. They're great.
So, when my daughter, JC, was undergoing her chemotherapy treatment, they put her in a radiation room. Radiation rooms are, it's a regular room, but there is a heavy metal door, and often there is another room within your room for parents to go into so they can still be close to their child, but not also get radiation. The room that we were first put in when JC was very, very, very sick, we spent at least 2 months in there. The door is heavy.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot slam that door unless you are really trying to slam that door. It is very hard. So the fact that they witnessed, not only did they hear door slam, but they witnessed a heavy metal door slamming. I was like, bitch.
I will say this too, because a lot of people would venture to say, oh, it's a string or it's a wire.
Not
but like
a heavy metal
think
door.
About how much effort and how much strong... How strong a invisible string needs to be for you to be able to pull a heavy door. Like that, you can't do that with like fishing line,
door.
Is my point.
You can't do it, no. It's just
something to think about.
They had temperature gauges, which they often have. And they were talking about, show us a sign. Is this your sign? And the numbers move from 66.5 to 66.6.
The devil's number.
You can hear a creepy voice saying, get out, through EVP. So not just get out, like it's like, get out.
Mm.
Very, very weird. Faces appearing beyond Nick's shoulder. So one of the, what's it called? One of the investigators' shoulder.
Yeah, yeah.
There is an EVP saying, get the fuck out of here. Very angry stuff.
But yeah, there was a bunch of very angry people that lived there.
Absolutely. Another creepy EVP saying, we can do it more. Like, literally saying it just like that. After they were saying, if you don't want us here, let us know. An EVP response says, I don't want to.
Hmm.
They could feel hands on them, specifically on their chest. And it was hard to breathe when they were trying to contact Raymond. Now, Raymond is the one who has been speculated to have... molested children.
Oh, yeah.
Zach says, are you putting your hands on me, Raymond? And literally, the EVP captures, I'm not scared. Like, just like that, I'm not scared. Almost taunting, like, I feel like.
Yeah, like, dude, I don't care.
Blah, 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 blah. Zach says, your attacks on women will stop, and you can hear footsteps coming. And Zach comments how they're coming up on him. Like, he feels like, you know, I'm standing here and there's footsteps coming, like, kind of behind you. Then one of the guys with him thinks he ran into a spider web because this is an older place. Spiders are going to be part of a thing. And they capture an EVP that says, I just slapped you, bitch. I shit you not. That's exactly, you can hear it clear as day.
Whoa.
So he thinks he ran into a spider web, but the guy was like, I just slapped you, bitch. I was like, oh. And then Zach continues to comment how he can feel someone just being right there.
Is it weird that every time I hear these old time stories where they curse, and I'm like, when was cursing created? Because I can't picture an old timey person saying a curse word, but I know they did because it's in a million things.
I don't know.
But you know what I'm saying? It's always weird to think about, like, when was the word bitch created?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, it was a dog, but still, like, it's interesting. I'm always like, old-timey people didn't curse. I'm like, of course they did.
Oh. So, I think it was, Aaron, maybe, was in the room, where the satanic rituals were held. So, he's got candles up in a circle, kind of emulating a ritual.
Right.
Now, when these candles were lit, he is sitting on a bed. So the candles are lit in a circle, and he's kind of sitting in a bed off in the back. The candles, sometimes if there is a breeze or something, candles will constantly flicker.
Oh, for sure,
flame moves. These candles are still, but you can see him kind of moving, like he's doing things with his hands, just around his face. Nothing, like no big movements or anything like that. Candles are still. So it's not a freeze frame. He's talking. He's asking questions. And then you can hear a scream, like a long, loud scream, like a woman is screaming. And after...
Oh, it's they're
the,
outside, yeah.
After the scream stops, the candles start to flicker. So they kind of played it up as like, oh, was that scream the opening of a portal or something like that?
I don't know
like
about that, but...
And so... Or maybe it wasn't Aaron who was in the room. It was somebody else. I forget who. Mm-hmm. It was just a dude.
One of the guys.
One of the guys. And then Aaron was in the Christmas room. And this is the room where kids can often be heard playing and stuff. He tells.
Well, if I was a ghost kid, that's the room I would
be in. He tells the kids that he wants to know if anyone is in the room. So he knows, like, let me know if you're in here and we can play. And you can hear what sounds like a small child whispering something. Which is, it's kind of sad, but...
Yeah.
Kill Zach was heard. Oh, Nick was also heard, like, as if being in response to, like, who's next and, like, that kind of thing. You can see, as soon as Nick was also heard, after he's saying, like, he said kill Zach, and then Zach said something else, and then the voice said Nick, and as he's saying Nick, you can see Nick kind of, like, brush his arm as if in, like, a response to, like, I just got goosebumps kind of thing at the exact same time that his name is being said.
Ooh.
So it's just really, really creepy stuff.
That's a lot.
It's a lot of creepy stuff.
Yeah.
That's just from one episode.
Shit.
Just one whole thing. And then they took their... They took some of the pictures of Roy, the man with giantism, to a forensic, like, photo person, I guess, who specializes in pictures, I don't know.
Sure.
And she did some kind of, like, filter thing, and she made out, like, where you could see Roy. I mean, he was there. It's a full-bodied person.
Oh, shit.
It's very... Let me see if I can pull it up on my phone. But, yeah.
That's crazy.
Roy from The Office. No. Oh, here we go. Images. Let's see if I can find the one. There's a bunch on here. You can see, like, that light. Like,
oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's not a... That's, like... Holy crap.
I don't know if their picture is on here. It's probably not going to be on here. I don't think their picture is going to be on here.
Still.
But it's very...
Yeah.
It's very... I wouldn't say creepy because he seemed like a nice person.
Yeah.
But it's still sad that
he was a gentle giant.
Oh, my God. I cannot.
All right. That was good. I liked
it.
Well, if you liked it, make sure you give us a rating and subscribe.
Can I say, though?
Oh, yeah. Say what you want to say.
I'm surprised that you didn't do the tuberculosis hospital.
Which one? There was tons.
The one in Kentucky?
Oh,
I did.
You know what's funny?
What?
I didn't think about it.
Are you shitting me?
Nope. And that's funny because Dylan's been wanting to go there since the day we met.
I had an English class in 11th grade, and the very end of the assignment, or the year, you had to do, like, this very big college-type paper on something, and I did the tuberculosis hospital and the hauntings. Yeah. And I had, like, because I was, like, it was, you had to have, like, eight pages worth, yeah, and it had to be a very big to-do. And I was, like, if I'm going to write 8 pages worth
of
something.
I'm going to do it on something I like.
I'm going to do it on something I like and something that I can get all these things about.
Damn, now I'm regretting not doing that.
And I had to do, because, like, the internet back then wasn't what it is now. So I had I had to read tons of books.
I was going
to
say, we didn't really have the internet.
Yeah, so it was, like, a 2 month thing.
Shit.
And it was very, it was,
you know what?
It was really good.
We've done haunted Alabama. We still have to do the rest of the states. When we do haunted Kentucky, that's, I'm calling it.
Okay.
Yes.
I got lots of other things.
Yeah, there's plenty in Kentucky.
There's Kentucky.
There's tons. Kentucky is fucked. Tons. We still need to keep doing those. We need to keep.
Yeah.
So, but if you, well, that brings me to another point. If you guys have.
What other places are, like, what kind of things are haunted?
Like,
grocery stores.
Haunted grocery store. Haunted libraries. Haunted bathrooms. Haunted.
Moaning Myrtle.
That's what you're going to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you the very true story of Moaning Myrtle and how she died.
Anyway. Wait, but is she a descendant from Harry's family? Why do they look so much alike?
No, I think it's just, she just looks like him. You know that woman that played Moaning Myrtle is like 40 years old?
Really?
She was the oldest person. She was the oldest, one of the oldest members of the cast.
I was going to say the oldest person?
No.
Wait,
that's one of the oldest members. Magic, then. She's old, though. She's like in her 30s or her 40s.
Shit.
Like when she was playing Moaning Myrtle.
Oh, you know Nicholas Flamel is in Fantastic Beasts.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. He's funny. He's like old and like, what's the guy's name? The bigger guy who's, he's a regular person.
Oh, the
Queenie's like
boyfriend
or whatever.
Yeah.
He goes to shake his hand, and Nicholas Flamel, you could hear like a crack, and he's like, "Oh, like his hand."
That's hilarious.
Oh, and he like opens up this little like chamber thing, and you can see the stone all like up on this little stand. I was like, "Oh my god, it's all happening!" It was great. It was a great movie.
I still need to see it.
You do.
I've heard it's very good.
The people who say it's not good are fucked.
The people who say it's not good keep being like, but Johnny Depp was bad. I'm like, I think you're just mad because he's in the movie, because no one wanted him in the movie after all that shit happened.
Oh.
So, but yeah. I'm like.
He plays a very good Grindelwald, though.
But anyway, what I was saying before is if you have a topic, idea.
We're coming up on December.
We're actually about to sit down and see.
Did we talk about Krampus yet? No, because we've only been doing this for.
Yeah.
Since, what, January?
We should do Krampus. Like, do like we did with Slender Man. Like we did.
Oh, yeah, we can do, like...
At parts.
I don't know. Is there stuff like people
I'm sure
Krampus?
I'm sure there's other things.
Other Christmas
Christmas,
thingies.
Like, folklores.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is not the time to have this conversation. If you have any suggestions, let us know, because if we use your suggestion, like, the two episodes in November were suggested by other people, by listeners, and... If we use yours, we will send you a tiny gift.
A shminy schmift.
We'll send you a tiny gift and as a thank you for giving us the idea.
Yeah.
So make sure you can just DM us or email us or whatever. But anyway.
Oh, yeah, personal stories.
Personal stories is always something we're looking for.
Yeah.
So send us those, too, because we like doing little listener, like, personal stories.
Yeah.
Episodes. But, yes, so... Have a good rest to your week. Keep it hexy. And it's about to be December. So, actually, I think this goes up in December.
Probably. Because December is...
This weekend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
happy December!
Happy December. Goodbye.
Bye.
Dylan! Okay.